section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Bobby Lashley is going to return to professional wrestling. Is that true?
Yeah, but he has not said whether or not he's coming back to WWE or TNA. He said he is taking independent bookings, and it sounds like he wants a really light schedule. Now, I don't think that he would go back to WWE because you're not going to get that light of a schedule there. Brock Lesnar can do it because he transcends wrestling, you know, in the same way like The Rock does or Stone Cold. Bobby Lashley, though, he doesn't. And so I could see him coming back to TNA. In fact, I think that they need him there. I think he would be a tremendous talent to come back to TNA.
Now, he was there for a little bit, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
That was about it. He was just kind of there. It's one of those weird people. He left the WWE. I don't remember the reason why. It wasn't important, apparently. But yeah, he went there. He's just kind of there, and he went to, what, UFC? Not UFC, but mixed martial arts, and That was about it. I mean, you can be big and be in martial arts, but, you know.
Well, he wasn't. Brock Lesnar, though, is a special, you know, athlete. I mean, he is somebody who just, you know, when he was in WWE, he transcended that. And UFC, he transcended that. Bobby Lashley, though, I think that a lot of people, I don't want to say have forgotten about him, but when I read that, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Bobby Lashley, ECW champion. WWE ECW champion.
Oh, that's right. He was the ECW champion. Mm-hmm. Forgot about that.
Anyways. Now, the next big piece of news, Andy, is that Bruno Sammartino does not want anything to do with the WWE Hall of Fame. So there were reports going online that were saying that WWE has contacted him to be in this year's Hall of Fame. Now, Andy, what do you think of this?
Well, I saw the reasoning, and I don't know what to think of it, really. I mean, he blames Triple H, if I'm correct. He basically said that he doesn't respect the older guys when he came in. Is this right?
Well, there was a lot of stuff going on. He heavily criticized Vince McMahon because you got to realize that Bruno Sammartino, first of all, he holds the record, first of all, for holding the title the longest and also the combined days. He has 4,040 days are his combined reign. He reigned twice. So he held that title for, what was that, a decade? You know, I mean, a very, very long time. Yeah. Number two, of course, is Hulk Hogan, and then Bob Backlund, and then, you know, John Cena. John Cena will never even get up to Bob Backlund's status. I mean, it's just, no. You know, it's way too high up there. But, yeah, he has not been a big fan of Vince McMahon. You know, Vince McMahon, when he bought the company, I believe Bruno, he might have, he didn't hold the title when Vince bought the company.
Jeez, that's amazing. I mean, that's weird.
Yeah, but, so I don't know. I mean, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you would agree with that, right?
Yeah, I think that even if he doesn't want to be there, they should just induct him anyways. Like, the same thing with Randy Savage. The fact that they should induct his entire family basically in is ridiculous. You don't do that. That's stupid. Yeah. They should just induct him anyways and be like, listen, if you want to be in, you need to be good. And just leave it at that. Because, you know, even if Bruno doesn't want to say that he wants to have nothing to do with it, that's fine. We're going to induct him anyways.
Mm-hmm.
He can be there if he wants. He doesn't have to. We'll send him the ring. But the thing is, he's a hypocrite as soon as he puts that ring on.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of one of those weird situations. I'm going to be very interested to see what comes of this because, you know, he heavily criticized it. heavily criticized Vince McMahon and the WWE, and it'll be interesting to see what comes from all of this.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So let's move on to Raw. So Del Rio attacks Sin Cara, and what was the point of this? I didn't get it.
I think they were trying to show off that Del Rio was very upset about everything that was going on in his life, and kind of showing off that he's a very aggressive person. And so, you know, he just went and he destroyed Sin Cara. Now, what did you think of this segment?
I first thought, is Sin Cara getting fired? Or is that Hunico? You know, I was trying to figure out why this was going on. I think they just picked Sin Cara because they want them to feud eventually, which they would probably put on a really, really good match without botches, hopefully. Just as long as there's no botches, we'll be okay. But in all seriousness, I think they can actually start a feud because of this. Somehow Del Rio can, I don't know, lose a match, and it's because of Sin Cara, and then Sin Cara basically laughs at him.
Well, and you know what match it'll be, right?
What?
It'll be for the World Heavyweight Championship at the pay-per-view.
Well, I would hope that doesn't happen.
Well, come on. It's lazy writing, you know.
Well, that's true. And plus, you know, they don't want Del Rio to have another title, which is ridiculous. So Brock Lesnar is going to deliver his answer at Raw 1000 in St. Louis. So mm-hmm. What do you think his answers are going to be?
I think initially he's going to say no. Mm-hmm. And the crowd's going to boo him. And then Triple H is going to egg him on. And then Triple H is going to say, and then Lesnar will eventually come around and say, yes, I'm going to take you on. So I think that's what's going to end up happening. You know, I have already criticized what the booking is probably going to end up being at SummerSlam, and I'm not going to go into it again. I think that this is one of those things, though. I mean, they said they're treating Raw 1000 like a pay-per-view, and there's already reports online saying that Rey Mysterio and Mark Henry are both supposed to return at Raw 1000. Obviously, this is going to happen. Probably going to have a couple of big matches and maybe even a title change, I bet, would happen at Raw 1000. That would be my guess.
Someone will cash their Money in the Bank in. Which go Dolph Ziggler being the next champion. So that's what I think is going to happen. Heath Slater defeats Doink the Clown. Which, who do you think played Doink this time, Aaron, by the way?
Oh, I already saw it was the Brooklyn Brawler.
Oh, I know. Doink I was really hoping that Eugene was going to do it. so he beats it. He thinks he's all tough. And then all of a sudden we hear, it's me. It's DDP. Which I was kind of disappointed because I like his old music with the Smells Like Teen Spirit and that riff from that. But no, they didn't happen. But DDP comes out. And the one thing that I realized when DDP came back, I want someone to take that character back on. I want someone to be the next DDP and have it something, you know, because that Diamond Cutter, his is completely different from the RKO. One thing I realized, the RKO is more, I'm going to hook you, we wait a second, and then I drop you. Mm-hmm. And the one thing about the Diamond Cutter, he just goes up there, and he does it immediately, and it's real fast.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I like that move so much, is because it's just out of nowhere. I mean, there, you could see it was going to happen, but it was technically out of nowhere. All of a sudden, he just grabbed him, bam, over with.
Yeah, no, I like the Diamond Cutter better than the RKO. I mean, I'm not saying that the RKO is bad by any means, because it's more of a smaller, quicker guy's move, whereas the Diamond Cutter was more because he is a bigger guy, in the same way Johnny Ace, when he did the cutter, you know, it worked great for him. I like this segment quite a bit. I like seeing DDP back. Mm-hmm. And DDP, I got to tell you, I'm surprised. I mean, he's like in his 50s. And he still looks pretty good, you know? Like, he still looks like he's got it. And I don't know if he would do good in the wrestling ring necessarily, but I, you know, it'd be kind of cool to see him back, you know, just for like a little bit.
But see, he's doing the yoga stuff, which, you know, keeps you in really good shape, makes you very flexible. I don't know if he can continue to take bumps, you know, but yes, you're right. He looked a lot better than Hogan or most of the other wrestlers that came back, especially Vader. He looked good. So we got to give that the former WCW heavyweight champion, we got to give him some credit. He still looks like he's in his prime.
Yeah.
Too bad he's not married to whatever her name is. So let's move on to Tyson Kidd Get some love on Raw, finally. Wins his first match on Raw, I think, in forever. And it's against Tensai. Or Prince Albert. Why did he go over in this match? And it was so quick, too.
So they're both in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And they're trying to make Tyson Kidd this, you know, kind of Rey Mysterio-like guy. You know, the underdog who barely gets away with a win. And because when he came out, I was saying to myself, oh boy, I'm sorry, dude. You are going to get destroyed. That's what my thought was. And, you know, he ended up winning. I was very surprised. Looks like they're giving him some love, which, you know, good for you. I'm surprised they did that over Tensai, though. Like, that really surprised me.
Well, he keeps beating up the one dude, though.
Yeah, well, after the match, yeah. He went and he attacked, you know, his mentor, or the guy that comes to the ring with him, his valet. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of surprised they did it to him, because they were pushing him to be a monster. I mean, he beat John Cena, you know?
Yeah.
So, he beat John Cena, he beat CM Punk. You know, this is a guy who is supposed to be your monster, and he loses to Tyson Kidd. That's, I don't know, that's not very smart booking, I don't think.
Maybe they're going to go back to him being Prince Albert, because they realize that no one cares about Tensai.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
So, Andy, over on SmackDown, Alberto Del Rio pummeled Sheamus. And he beat the crap out of him. He closed the hood of his car on him. And he actually busted Sheamus open, and he was bleeding.
I don't think they're going to get their deposit back on that rental. But, yeah, Sheamus got his butt kicked. And, well, everyone knows what happens when that happens on SmackDown. And he got a pay-per-view coming up real fast. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, is that, yep, looks like Del Rio is definitely going to lose.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they got to try to make him look like he's awesome and everything. And he is not in the Money in the Bank ladder match. I don't know if they even announced that he's taking on Sheamus. You'll have to forgive me. I don't believe that they did announce it. Okay.
Yeah.
They're taking them. They're going to fight at they're going to have their match at Money in the Bank. I, you know what? I'm telling you right now, Sheamus will keep this title, and he needs to lose it. I really feel he needs to lose it.
You know, it'd be interesting if for somehow, some way, Del Rio wins it, but barely makes it out, and then someone catches it on him, like Dolph Ziggler.
You know what? I really hope Ziggler wins the Money in the Bank, and I hope that he wins the title very soon thereafter.
Yeah, and the thing is also, see, Ziggler's over right now. But he's almost the type of guy that I don't want him to be the champion yet. But I think him teasing it's going to be one thing. I mean, look at – oh, gosh. Who's you know, Zack Ryder is another good example. I'd love to see him as a World Heavyweight Champion or a WWE Champion. But the problem is it's not there yet.
He's not over yet. No. Ziggler, on the other hand, though, Ziggler has actually been in World Heavyweight title matches. Mm-hmm. And I feel that Ziggler, when he won the title from Edge or was awarded it, yeah. I thought that was so stupid. Yeah. And that was so dumb because he wasn't ready for the title and it didn't do anything for him. However, though, compared to like Jack Swagger when Swagger won the World Heavyweight title from Jericho, I think Ziggler is over and he is ready to win. And if you at Money in the Bank, he wins that. And then the next match, you have Sheamus, Del Rio. Sheamus goes over. Del Rio then attacks him. Ziggler comes out. He cashes in, you know, the contract and wins. If you do that, I think that would be a good move and would help get him over. And I bet people will cheer. I bet that's the biggest thing is, I bet people will cheer.
Yeah, I don't think you heard any boos or anything. People will be happy that he actually won. You're right.
Yeah. That's what I think they should do.
So here's something also that they added a couple of people to the Money in the Bank, which is really nice. They added Cody Rhodes and Dolph Ziggler, which is awesome. So Cody Rhodes wins. He beats Christian, if I'm correct, in actually a decent match for SmackDown. Of course, you know, being live on Tuesday for a change. Oh, you know what we forgot to talk about? It was the Great American Bash SmackDown. With Teddy Long on there, which they had a lot of funny segments. I thought the one with Eve where she gets drenched with the it was like red wine or whatever. I thought that was pretty funny. And also,
So Rhodes and Ziggler got added to this, which kind of you know, we had talked about last week that there were only two people who could win the match legitimately, which were Christian and Tensai. This makes it a little bit easier, you know, because they're a little bit more open. I could see Rhodes winning it. I don't think he will. I think this is Ziggler's contract to win. I think that Ziggler, this is for Ziggler, plain and simple.
Exactly. And you know what? Also, something awesome happened on SmackDown this week. Trumparetta and Curt Hawkins came out. And it was just Curt Hawkins. And I was like, please don't be Ryback. Please don't be Ryback. And then the Goldberg chants come out. So Ryback actually takes on a wrestler, which Curt Hawkins did not look pleased that he had to lose to this guy. And what do you do with this guy? Seriously, it's got to the point now where everyone's calling him Goldberg. It's like RVD and Goldberg had a child and it's Ryback.
Pretty much. I think that this is the step in the right direction. On Raw, you have him take on another, you know, person. You have him take on, you know, Tyler Rex or, you know, Trent Beretta or whoever else is in the WWE doghouse. You have him take on those people, you know, move your way up into the, Mr. Jennifer Hudson land. And then, you know, move it up slowly. I think this is a very good step in the right direction. I still think his matches are incredibly sloppy. And the fact that this match was 20 seconds, 30 seconds long, you got to make him last longer. You know, you need to. And especially since it's a wrestler, you should make it last a little bit longer. I want to see him in a 3-minute match. That's what I would like to see.
I want him to actually like kind of sell something. Because he hasn't. He hasn't had to.
He sold a little bit against Hawkins. A little bit.
I don't consider that selling. I mean, I consider selling like he takes a body slam. You know, he does something.
Yeah.
But Ryback, I mean, what do you do with him? This is the problem with him. What do you do? You made him too powerful.
What you do is you put the title on him. You give him the U.S. title. You know, like you have some heel take it. Then you give him that title, have him hold on to it for a while. Then you work him up to the WWE or World Heavyweight title. I think by the end of the year, there's a good chance that he might be one of those.
I think that's a mistake. But
I'm not saying it's the right move. I'm just saying that he might be, you know. Okay.
So the Great American Bash SmackDown, or SmackDown's Great American Bash, depending on how you look at it, or WCW's Great American Bash, they actually, or the pay-per-view that WWE put up, they actually decided to have a 20-man Battle Royale, which actually was pretty good. I was pretty happy with it.
And yeah, I was too.
I was more in shock about who won. Who won, Aaron?
I was very shocked too, but the moment I saw that it was Ryder and Kane in the ring, I knew that Ryder was going to win. I just knew because they were saying he's going to be the GM, you know, next week. I think they said just for SmackDown.
Just for SmackDown.
Yeah. So I was like, it's going to be Zack Ryder. It's going to be him. And lo and behold, it was, you know. So Ryder wins. He finally gets a win over Kane.
Yep. So I thought that was really cool. And I wouldn't be surprised if he puts like Kane in like a triple threat match or like a 3-on-1 handicap match.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do something like that. So I was really happy to see that that he won. Very happy. Very, very happy. So,
yeah.
Anyways, let's move on to our sponsor, our longest running sponsor now, HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off The Mark page. We have a little coupon where you can get $10 off any order of $70 or more. All you got to do is just go check it out on the page. Actually, if you just look at the info on this, you'll see ad. And click on that ad and then go buy some WWE merchandise from WWEshop.com. Not WWE Shop Zone. That's for us old timers. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling. So D-Von, it's been 3 weeks?
Or two, weeks? 2 weeks.
Two weeks since he last defended the TV title. He beats Crimson.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah. I'm really confused. After Goldberg had lost to Kevin Nash, He didn't just start losing a bunch of matches, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Crimson beat Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle. And then you're going to have him lose to D-Von? This is just sloppy booking, in my opinion. Like, I'm completely confused by this, you know? Like, I do not understand this.
Here's what I don't get either. They basically had to fly all the wrestlers in on Tuesday. Everyone who's going to be at the show. You wasted money by doing that. Why didn't they just tape this show? I don't get it. I mean, I see that there would be a little bit more of a crowd if someone went down there to see fireworks at either Disney or at Universal Studios. But come on. Tape it then, and then you can save a ton of money. Because some of these people now, they're not going to go home on Friday. They're going to stay there the entire time. So TNA basically is losing a ton of money by having people stay almost a full week in hotel rooms.
And I'll say, I do like the fact that TNA is live. It makes me watch it and actually get excited for it. I mean, we just got done watching TNA. This is the most fresh in our minds right now. It's really great that we have the opportunity to record right afterwards. And I like that it's live. But the thing is, I would definitely have taped this one out of all of them. I would have taped this one on Friday, you know, right after you had the other show. Tape it on Friday so that way you don't have to worry about flying these people all over the place. Who do you think wants to come down? It's like, oh, we just had the fireworks. Now we're going to come back. What are they going to do next year? You know, if anything else, it has to be a taped show. Has to be taped.
I mean, they should have said that we're going to go live for the next 12 weeks. 11 of those weeks will be live. We'll have one that's not. And this could have been a taped show because nothing major happened. Besides the fact the TV title got defended. So you should have gone ahead and just taped the show. You could have taped it actually either on that Thursday. I mean, you could have actually already had it taped if you wanted to. Or you could have done it on Friday, like you suggested. They leave on Saturday. You don't have them come back again until like that following Saturday, right before the pay-per-view. Because, you know, you got to tape the Brooke Hogan stuff so they can edit so she looks, you know, pretty, somewhat pretty. Less, you know, more than a two. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. But, yeah. But, you know, one thing. But this show overall was okay. I didn't like the fact that Saban came out, said he's pretty much done. He might be done with wrestling. I mean, what's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, he came out and he gave his spiel saying that, you know, his friends were asking him, you know, like maybe you should call it quits. You know, you tore your ACL and... again, you know, he said that his doctor said the same thing. And so then Bobby Roode comes out and he attacks him. He accosts him. And then Austin Aries comes in for the save, you know, to build up the momentum for their match. The idea behind this is that, you know, X Division wrestlers are less than, you know, normal TNA performers. That's what, you know, they're trying to get across. And Aries is trying to break that mold. I think that they've done a pretty good job with that so far, because that kind of ties into the Austin Aries, Bobby Roode feud. I think that they've done a pretty good job with this thus far.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. And this to me was for heat, but in a way I think that Austin Aries is going to win now. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins the title.
They made it believable. And that's the thing you want to do. You want to make it believable. You want to make it so if people at home are going, ugh, obviously he's not going to get the title.
Mm-hmm.
No, you want to make it say he has a really good shot. Like he could take this title off of him. And that's the way I feel. And as you said, that's the way that you feel right now. And that's important.
I think it'll happen, though. I think if it's going to happen, it'll happen now. But I think that he won't hold it very long. I think he'll actually lose it on one of the live impacts. So that's what I think is going to happen. But anyway, so some more X Division talents actually qualify. One, if I'm correct, Kenny King, isn't he Kenny from Tough Enough? Am I wrong on that?
Oh, was he?
I don't know. Like that's who I thought it was because he looked like him because I thought that he was still wrestling. But
you know, I actually didn't. I didn't make the you know the comparison. Oh, never mind, to
dude. Him. Now I remember that name. Kenny King is actually he was on Tough Enough, but he's also with Ring of Honor. That's how I know the name.
Oh, okay.
And he is actually, he's one of the tag team champions for Ring of Honor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and he was on Tough Enough. But he's also been on, he's been with Impact before. But yeah. But it was really weird because all of a sudden he just came back. You know, you'd think that, you know, like he would let Ring of Honor know, hey, I'm going to go be a TNA for a little bit. But I don't think they knew.
Well, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about in particular with this is that there's really only one person who has qualified, who has any legitimacy to win that title. And that's Sanjay Dutt. He is the only one because he's actually been with TNA before. Everybody remembers him. And he is a legitimate superstar who could take that title. Because Aries definitely made that title worthwhile. He made that title worth something. And nothing against, you know, like somebody like Rubix. But if he gets the title, really? Like, you're going to make me believe that he can take that title. There's only one man who can take that title, and that is him. And so if anybody else wins it, that's going to be worthless to me.
Well, that's the thing also, because Dutt is polished. Like, when he wrestled with Rubix, is that right? When he actually wrestled him, you could tell that he was, like, he was still wrestling good. Like, he was very polished. He didn't botch anything. But then you have guys like Dakota Darso and Flip Casanova, and they botched everything. That was one of the worst matches I've seen in a long time. I don't care if it's live. This is why this show should have been taped, is because they could have just edited this entire match out. It was sloppy. That Flip Casanova was not that good. Dakota Darso, I've seen him wrestle before. He's okay. But Flip, wow. I've never seen so many botched moves since, you know, one of the first matches Sin Cara had.
Well, this is the problem. You know, I had criticized them before because there wasn't an X division, you know? There was no X division. And so it's cool they're bringing in all these guys, but no one cares about them. You should have brought them in 2 months ago and just had these fun little matches, you know? Say, these are stars of ours from the X division. That way I know who they are, because where's Zema Ion at? Zema Ion should be in this match. At least he has some charisma, and also I don't like him. Like, I mean, like, I like that I hate him, you know?
Yeah, like, that's, I never even thought about him. I've always thought Kid Cash, maybe bring him back. I haven't seen him in a while. No. You know, you can bring back some of those guys. Maybe, you know, maybe have Cole Cabana. All right, no, he's too big. You know, you have some smaller wrestlers come in. Luke Gallows, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
but anyways, yeah, so I don't think they did. I mean, they're doing only newbies besides Dutt. So they're basically saying Dutt's going to win. But I'll tell you now, if this Flip Casanova wins, I'm going to be ticked off because he should not even be in it. So
no, he shouldn't.
Anyway, so something, the last match of the night was something that I would have never guessed. Jeff Hardy actually wins.
Against
James Storm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of a big deal. Like, I was surprised that Storm lost, I think is what I look at. Not the fact that Hardy, it wasn't Hardy winning, it was that Storm lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, he is the points leader, and technically he would have been up to 43, but to me it's just weird. I thought also they could have gone to a draw, because I thought they had a time limit on these matches, but whatever.
You know, the one thing I will say about it is I really like that Hardy won this, not because I thought Hardy was going to win, but because I thought Storm was going to win. And that's important. That is so important. The Bound for Glory series, this is what I wanted last year, which I wanted these matches to be so important and have the people in there actually be people who you look at and you go, who's going to win this? You know, Storm versus Samoa Joe, I thought Storm was going to win, and he did. But you also made me believe that Joe could win, you know? And that's why Robbie E has no business being in there unless they have him lose every match, in which case I will say, okay, that was smart. That was good booking, you know?
I agree with you.
But yeah, like when they have Kurt Angle take on Jeff Hardy, when they have Kurt Angle take on James Storm, you know, these are going to be matches that can be the main event of that Impact, that can actually be a big match in the pay-per-view, because this pay-per-view, Kurt Angle's taking on Samoa Joe, which is a huge, huge match. So that's what I think the Bound for Glory series, I think this year they might actually be doing it perfectly.
Yeah, I'm looking. Bound for Glory. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, I'm actually digging. I didn't like it last year, but for some reason this year, I'm kind of excited. You know, and it sucks Sting's not in there, but hey, you got Robbie E. That's the way to look at it. And then, of course, the show ended with the whole segment with, of course, Bobby and Austin, you know, going at it. Of course, they said, let's wrestle right now. You know it's not going to happen. But
no, of course not.
They tease it a little bit. You know.
Yeah. I'm excited for Destination X. I think it should be pretty good. Yep. But I'm not nearly as excited as I am for our weekly topic.
Yes. I have been working on this since we talked about it last time we taped. I'm still contemplating a couple of things, but this is me just thinking about it. I'm not a full week, I'd say. I probably worked on it for a total of 3 hours. 3 hours, all right? So I've gotten farther than what the people at WWE have been working on it for, what, the last 2 years? I've gotten farther than what they have. And the thing is, I haven't even put original programming in yet. I'm just putting in all the taping we have. So during the day, I always thought it'd be good. They would actually have a couple original things where they'd follow, like, Santino or, like, R-Truth or someone in the mid-card. And you follow them around, and they kind of show what they do through a day. That's a perfect show. But then when you get to the prime time, that's where your money numbers are. Of course, I keep thinking Central Standard Time, but we'll go Eastern Standard Time. 7:30 hits. Yeah. 7:30 hits. Where are you going to go?
6:30, Andy?
6:30 Central Standard Time. So it'll be 7:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So 7:30 hits, right? And you are going... I'm sorry. I live in Central Time, so I'm trying to adapt to it. So 7:30 their time, right? You have your Raw pre-show. That's where you have basically a couple guys, so a couple of the lower tier announcers. They come on, they do the show. They take phone calls, they read emails, tweets, maybe faxes if that's still popular, and they do it right before the show. And then and then while Raw's going on, you just have classic WWF matches or even AWA matches from like the 80s. So people will want to watch it, but it's not going to be a big deal. You know what I mean? Like, so they have some programming, but then once Raw gets off the air at 11:05 or 11:10, you have the Raw after show. You go another 30 minutes. You do the same thing. You have people calling in. You know, of course, you got to screen the calls. So you have people calling in. You get more tweets. You know, they talk about stuff from what happened on the show. And I think that's a big deal because, like, Howard Stern, for instance, I usually listen to him here and there. They have a wrap-up show, and honestly, I enjoy that more than his show because they wrap everything up. You can do the same thing on one of these shows. You have basically a total of 22 minutes to do so. I think it's a great idea. You do that, and then what you do after that, this is the thing I want to do. I actually want to run Raw again. So you can actually have Raw on the WWE Network afterwards if you'd like.
So what you're saying is that 11:05, 11:10 – Eastern Standard Time, that's when you start the wrap-up show. You mm-hmm. run that to like 11:30, let's say, and then do the pre-show again.
Correct.
And then run Raw, which is 3 hours, so you run that 12 to 3.
Correct.
Okay.
And that way, so if someone missed it, because the one thing about Nitro was it was always nice. If you missed it, you had the chance to rewatch it. Mm-hmm. And I think if they did that on this, it would be another benefit, especially just they ran it that one time. Well, then what do you do on Tuesday nights? It's easy. At 8 o'clock, bam, Monday Night Wars. You basically condense the WCW show and the Raw show, and you almost can run them like the segment on Nitro and the segment on Raw or vice versa, and you can do that for 3 hours. Or you can run the Raw show and then the Nitro show, and you could do that, you know, for an hour and a half for each one. I think it would be great, especially if you brought back like someone like DDP or someone else who was around that time and just have them do commentary, which would be kind of cool if you wanted to do that. Because, you know, no one wants to pay Tony Schiavone money. So you do that on Tuesday nights. Of course, it's easy when they do it on Tuesday nights because usually they tape SmackDown that night as well. So what do we do on Wednesday night? See, Wednesday, they have a show that they're going to be airing on Ion TV, which I found out I do get. And it's going to be WWE main event. Well, what do? You still have – that's when you run some original programming. Now, that's the one thing I couldn't figure out shows. Like, I think it would be interesting, like I said, during the day, have a couple of shows where you follow wrestlers around. This one, you actually follow a couple of the main eventers around. Like, you have a Randy Orton or you have, like, a John Cena that you follow around, you know, a half-hour show. And then you can also run some classic matches as well, like – I don't know. You bring back DDP and have him say, this is my favorite match from this era or whatever. you know, stuff like that. So that's your Wednesday night era. And that's the one area I was having a lot of problems with, actually, was Wednesday. But and Thursday, of course, simple. You run WWE Superstars. And once Superstars ends at 8 o'clock, from 9 to 11, you run Thursday Night Thunder. You run repeats of Thursday Night Thunder. Because, of course, everyone like Thunder. So you get to watch those. You know, they'll look great, of course. And anything that deals with Chris Benoit, of course, will be out of the picture. So then we go to Friday. Even though SmackDown is taped most of the time on Fridays, you run a pre-show again. You would run it at 7:30. And you basically have 30 minutes. They talk about what's going to happen at SmackDown. They read some, you know, emails and tweets and maybe take a couple voicemails. SmackDown airs during SmackDown. See, that's the only thing also. You want to run classic matches because not many people want to watch some of those classic matches, but you still have it, so it's interesting. So you have some viewers, but you want everyone to watch SmackDown. Of course, you run the after show after that. Then you run another pre-show, run SmackDown after that. So there's your Friday that you do. Now, Saturday, of course, we're going to start this a little bit earlier. We're going to start it at 6 Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to run WCW Saturday Nights main event. You have that go, of course, for 2 hours. And then, of course, at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard, 8 o'clock, then you run the WWF main event. You run a repeat of one of the main events, and that will go on for a while. So you have Bust of Both Worlds, and also you can run some like In Your House stuff. The other thing also is they can run old pay per views if they really want to, also on that Saturday night. But the one thing is Sunday, I finally decided. From 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time until basically 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we run ECW all day. All day. Except there's only one exception, and that is when there's a pay-per-view. When there's a pay-per-view, they are live. They're live really, really early. I would even say starting as early as 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The crowds outside the arena, you have someone come by, interview people, talk about the matches, hype up the pay-per-view, and you keep going until the pre-show, which is at, 7:30, and then you have a match, get what we like to call the dark match, you have that going, so everyone gets excited, they get to see that match, and then pay-per-view right afterwards. And the pay-per-view, of course, is free, except for WrestleMania. You make them pay for WrestleMania. But, because the channel's going to end up being like $16 a month. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's how I would book it. And like I said, I probably spent a couple hours doing this, and I got farther than those idiots in Stanford.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like some of your ideas. It'd be interesting to, like, if we did a full on, here's what's running from like 3 o'clock until 6 o'clock, like Eastern Standard Time, like in the morning or at night. It'd be interesting to actually do a full-on booking of it, because you got the other thing you have to do is you have to keep the consistency there. So if you're running old WWF programming, so you start with Raw 1, right? You would have to keep, the next Raw that you run needs to be Raw 2, needs to be Raw 3, and you have to keep with that, and then you have to show the pay-per-view too.
Yep.
You have to do that for one of the things. And you can condense those down, of course, like pay-per-view, you can take out some of the extra stuff that went into it, to build hype for the matches later on. Because, pay-per-view is 3 hours. And, when you add in commercials and everything, that 3 hours would quickly turn to four. Mm-hmm. So instead you'd have to take out, half an hour to an hour's worth of content, which wouldn't be too hard. That would be the biggest thing. You got to do that. Yeah. But if you do that and you do it properly, you're talking, you have, years worth, probably 4 or 5 years mm-hmm. worth of stuff before you have to repeat it.
Well, that's also the thing that I was contemplating is also, instead of having ECW take over, you just go ahead and run either the WCW shows leading up, and then you have the pay-per-view, or you have the WWE or F shows and do the same thing. So you can potentially see how they built up and either failed at the pay-per-view or succeeded, depending on who you talk to. And there's so many other things that you could do. And I was just like, a lot of the stuff I just threw, I'm like, well, let's see what sticks. I mean, that was my big thing, but I was like, where do you put it? Because you got to give ECW their time to shine, hosted by Paul Heyman and also Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah. And when it got to the height when they were running 12 pay-per-views a year, mm-hmm. you know, realistically, you could run Nitro four nights in a row and then the pay-per-view on Friday, you know?
Yep.
Or if it's a long week, you run it then, you know, Monday through Friday and then the pay-per-view on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd have the ability to do stuff like that, which, you know, that'd be really cool. And like I said, you know, if you do it right, you could have 5 years worth of content before you repeat, and it keeps growing because you're still adding content from WWE. So then it would be 6 years the next time around, 7 years the next mm-hmm. time around, you know. And if they buy TNA, you know, you're talking a lot, right. Even more. So,
and see, the other thing I was having trouble with is, do you want to run, like, when do you want to run Raw and SmackDown? Do you want to have the late ones, like after they've aired on TV, or do you want to delay it and put it like, you run the Raw and SmackDown, you know, earlier on Saturday, and then you go to the classic programming. I mean, there's so many things that we could do. And the sad thing is, they haven't thought of any of this probably. So the fact that we are ahead of someone who basically is probably pulled in $500,000, we're already ahead of what they're getting paid for. So when they actually take some of the stuff from the schedule, I think we should get paid for it.
Yeah, they take a lot of our other ideas, so
they sure have. Yes, they sure have. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.